Yeah.
Dubious there. Well, in the preach today, Ron and Mike, they asked me if I could preach from Psalm 24, probably, right, one of them, right?
Yes.
That's what I'm doing it from, anyway. Psalm 24. So, if you've got your Bibles, you'd like to turn to Psalm 24. I always say the best way to find Psalms, it's usually right in the middle of the Bible. Get your Bible halfway through, that's normally Psalms. Unless you've got an appendix that goes on forever.
Yeah.
So Psalm 24. Are you there?
Yeah.
So yes, Michael?
Yes, Michael.
Yes, Michael. Okay. Here it is. I'm reading from the NCV version. The earth belongs to the Lord and everything in it, the world and all its people. He built it on the waters and set it on the rivers. Who may go up on the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy temple? Only those with clean hands and pure hearts, who have not worshipped idols, who have not made promises in the name of a false god. They will receive a blessing from the Lord. The God who saves them will declare them right. They try to follow God. They look to the God of Jacob for help. Open up your gates. Open wide your aged doors, and the glorious king will come in. Who is this glorious king? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, the powerful warrior. Open up your gates, open wide your aged doors, and the glorious king will come in. Who is this glorious king? The Lord, all-powerful, he is the glorious king. Amen. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the physical representation, Lord, of words, Father, that helps us to connect with you. Lord, just this morning we pray those words might live in our hearts, Lord, but it might reveal more about you to us this day. Because we ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, in some Bibles, that psalm is titled The Glorious King. The Glorious King. But the trouble is, like so many words, certainly in English, the word king has been devalued over time.
Yeah.
I was actually shaving this morning, and I noticed on my shaving gel it had the King of Shaves. What? The King of Shaves. You know, and you listen to music, people say, Elvis, the King of Rock and Roll, all right? And we use that term king, but you know, it doesn't convey what the Bible said about king. Even in this country, you know, the king and the queen who was actually doesn't carry that much power. Yes, it might come with all the pomp and circumstance, but in fact, they can be overruled by parliaments. So maybe we should be saying, the king of a politician. No, so in our day and age, the word king and the word queen doesn't really carry the same thing. But in the Bible, when this passage was written, the word king meant someone who had supreme and absolute authority. They were the chief. They were the head. They were the leader over all that they ruled. And they had the power to back it up. And in many cases, they had the power over life and death. That was dependent on them. So when we refer to, or when the Bible refers to King Jesus, we better take notice of the word king. Because it means something different from what we understand that word king today. So I went through this psalm. It's interesting how if you take a psalm and you start to break it down and you ask God to reveal to you what you can get out of this. So let's start at verse 1. It says, the earth is whose?
The Lord's.
The Lord's.
Trump's?
No.
No, it's the Lord's, okay?
Trump's.
And everything in it. The world and all its people. But just think about that for a moment. If the world and everything in it belongs to God, what does that say about us? First of all, everyone we meet, our neighbour, The people we work with, they belong to
God.
Your children, they belong to the Lord. The immigrants, the despots, who do they belong to?
The Lord.
The Lord. And I think as we start to realise that, then it starts to change sometimes our perception of ourselves. Because you see, I belong to God. And you belong to God. Wow. And I somehow can't help but connect that back to the parable of the talents. Do you remember the parable of the talents? Where the owner who ruled over the land gave to every one of his servants some of his goods and he expected them to do something with it, didn't he? And two of them did, one of them didn't. And he was called an unfaithful servant. And I can't help but believe, you know, if everything belongs to God, then what I have, I am simply a steward of what? It's not mine, it's his. And I'm a steward, and he expects me to do something with it. In verse 3 of that psalm, it says, "Who may go up to the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy temple?" My granddaughter Iona, which some of you know, who's now, by the way, that high. last week, she received an invitation to go to Buckingham Palace. She completed her Gold Duke of Edinburgh Award, and because she qualified, they sent her an invitation. The Bible tells us that one day we will all stand before God, but not everyone will qualify for the garden party. Only those who are right with God. And we can know, as we've been singing, we can know what it means to be right with God. Interestingly, if you go back and look in the Bible, the way Moses met with God, it was on a mountain. But not everyone could go up the mountain. Only those who were cleansed. And if you look back into the temple, the Holy of Holies, who could go into the Holy of Holies to meet God? Only the cleansed, the priest. And he had to be cleansed to go in there. And likewise for us, if we want to meet up with God as his loyal subject and not as his enemy, then we need to be cleansed. Because verse 4 tells us this: only those with clean hands, pure hearts, who've not worshipped idols, who have not made promises in the name of a false god. Four things there, the psalm mentions. If we want to stand in the presence of God, and who doesn't, by the way? I want to stand in the presence of God, yeah? Not fearfully, I want to stand there upright. It says that to qualify, I need to have four things. The first one is clean hands. Clean, in this context, means we do the right things. Micah 6 verse 8 says this: "The Lord has told you what is good. He has told what he wants from you, to do what is right to other people, to love being kind to others, to live humbly and obeying your God." To be right, to have a clean hands, means that we need to stand up to those who have been taken advantage of. We can't be quiet because we need to do the right things. Yeah. Being kind means giving practical help to those who are in need. Now, it's one thing to say, "Oh, Ron, sorry that, I'm going to pray for you." What a cop-out that is. Well, praying is a good thing. But God expects us to do more with the talents that he's given us, and that is to be kind. And he's never asked us to judge whether he's worthy or not. Thank God for that. Yeah. He didn't judge me whether I was worthy when he died for me. Yeah. And he expects us to do the same things. To have clean hands, to always do the right things. And they are commands and not preferences. Second thing, do you remember, is clean hands and
pure hearts.
And pure heart really relates to the motives. I don't know you, but have you ever received something from someone and you know they want something? Because why would they buy flowers for me? I can never buy flowers without Jenny saying, okay, what do you want? Christmas. You know, we send out our Christmas cards and say, well, you didn't send me one back. You know, that's not the right motive, is it? You know, the right motive, and sometimes we do that with God. We say, Lord, I'm going to tithe, I'm going to pray to you every day, and I expect a blessing, something in return. If your kids treated you like that, what would you think? Now, that's not to say, by the way, that God isn't going to bless us, but you see, when our motive is, well, I'm doing this because, you know, I want him to bless me, therefore that's the reason why I'm doing it. When God said, no, we're going to worship him, why? Because he's worthy. Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah. Even if, quote, we're not blessed, I'm still going to do it because he is worthy. Mm-hmm. That's having a pure heart. What was the third thing? Clean hands, pure heart.
Not lifted soul up to an idol.
Not worshipped.
An idol.
Worship idols. Now, often we think about idol worship, and that's kneeling down in front of some kind of big, you know, statue type thing. Okay. But of course, an idol is anything that gets in the way between you and your service and my service for God. And there are many idols people will pursue these days. Ambition, more money, bigger house, better car, more sheep. You know, it's... And there's nothing wrong with any of those things, by the way. But when it becomes the focus of our life to get those things, then we've allowed them to become an idol. If we prioritize those things over being kind, of doing right, then they have become an idol. It's a tough list, isn't it? What was the last thing?
Sworn deceitfully.
Or not made promises to other, to false gods, it says in my version. And a false god is anything or anyone that we place our trust in over God. And you know, there are so many false gods around us today. It's called advertising. Okay? Save with us and later in life you'll be able to retire and go on a luxury cruise every day. Save or do this, then you will have a great life. You'll be fit and healthy for the rest of your life. And there are all these false gods. And again, there's nothing wrong individually, but when we place our trust in those alone, then what we're saying is God's not big enough to help us out. He needs a hand.
Yeah.
He needs help. Mm-hmm. So I better start saying repentance. By the way, it is good to say repentance, but it's when we trust in those things. What we're saying, when Jesus says, seek first God's kingdom, and what God wants, then all your other needs will be met. If we're saying, well, do you know what? I'm going to do those other things and I will seek God, but later on in my life, what we're saying is that God can't actually meet my other needs. Mm-hmm. I don't know you, but do you believe God can meet all your needs?
Amen.
Yeah.
It's easy to say that when all your needs are being met, by the way. But when we're suddenly faced with a situation, it becomes harder, doesn't it? And yet God has promised. This God who loved us, this God who died, sent his son to die on the cross, he thinks so much of us.
Yeah, right.
Why? Because we're his. We're his children. Who or what do we trust and follow? If we want to stand before God, then we need to put all our trust in him. We still need to be wise stewards of what he's given us, by the way. That doesn't mean frittering all our money away and whatever. Because when we do those four things, verse 5 tells us this. It says, they will receive a blessing from the Lord. The God who saves them will declare them right. Not you, but I like to be right. Don't you? Or is it just me? I like to be vindicated. If I've done something, you know, at times I do wrong. But sometimes when you're accused of being false, you say, no, oh no, I was right. But it says in this that God will declare us right if we're following after him. We receive a blessing, and a blessing is God's favour towards us, his grace, his goodness. And that's often accompanied by an ability to flourish, to prosper, and to fulfil his purpose. His blessing represents life-giving power, not necessarily material things, though sometimes it does include that. But you see, God's blessing is primarily about giving us power in our lives to live the life he has called us to live. If God wants you to be an evangelist in another country, he will give you the power to be able to do that. If you feel you really need to spend more time with your neighbour who's in hell, God will give you the power in order so that you can do that. Because that's what the blessing is. Now, one day, he's going to give us eternal life in a new world. Don't hang on to this world, because guess what? It's not destined for great things. But one day, God will create a new heaven and a new earth. And that's the one that we inhabit. Verse 6. They try to follow God. I love that. They try. Don't know about you, I don't always succeed. I try, but I don't always succeed. Right? And all God asks us is to try. Okay? He doesn't call us to be perfect. That sounds like a heresy, doesn't it? You see, when we try to be perfect, we end up focusing in on ourselves. You know, and beating ourselves up and saying, okay, Lord, when I'm better, I will start to do your will. But I need to get myself right. No, he doesn't say that. He says, try. Just try. Right? And he will sort that out. Having set the ground rules, he now goes on to give a personal challenge. Verse 7 says this. Open up your gates, open wide your aged doors, and the glorious king will come in. In the Bible, gates and doors represent things that will stop or that will control a flow of things. That door, if it's closed, people can't come in, can they? Unless we open it up. And I love it in Revelation when God talks about the heart of our doors. He says, look, open up your heart to him. And the glorious king will come in. Verse 8 says, who is this glorious king? It's the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord the powerful warrior. So often we see Jesus portrayed as a beaten up old man. Someone who's dragging a cross, or rather now hasn't got the power to drag a cross, who is, you know, been beaten, stripped. Yeah. And you know, so many churches have that symbolism. And it's right, he was like that for a short period of time. There's another image that I like to read on a regular basis. It's found in Revelation chapter 1, verse 12. It's when John, on the Isle of Patmos, he got a vision of Jesus. And this is what he saw. I turned to see who was talking to me. And when I turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands. And someone among the lampstands who was like a son of man. He was dressed in a long robe and had a gold band around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like bronze that glows hot in a furnace. And his voice was like the noise of boiling water. He held 7 stars in his right hand, and a sharp double-edged sword came out of his mouth. He looked like the sun shining at the brightest. Now, there is some strange imagery going on there, all right? But do you see a beaten up person?
No.
Do you see someone who goes on his last legs? You see a mighty warrior. Okay. If you had him standing beside you, you wouldn't care where you went, would you? Right? You would go into the darkest alley. Do you know what? I've got him. Don't deal with me, you're going to have to deal with him. Right? Yet so often we're afraid, aren't we? Because we don't see the glorious King who's right beside us, who loves us, and who we belong to. I keep praying, Lord, help me to see every day just exactly who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And how you're righteous. Just to remind us, in case we've forgotten, the psalm then repeats it.
Yeah.
In verse 8, open up, you gates. Open up wide, you lady doors. And the glorious King, he will come in. Who is this glorious King? The Lord all-powerful. He is the glorious King.
Yeah.
I wonder this morning, do we see God as the glorious, all-powering King? Do we see that? Now, there's a lot of people at the moment who are concerned, whether it be the cost of living crisis, whether it be the advent of World War III, and whoever prayed this morning, you know, it's terrible, the things that are going on at the moment. But you know, God is always in control.
Mm.
He is always in control.
Yeah.
And it's at times like these that we can actually get to talk to people who are scared and who are worried. Let's face it, if everything is going hunky-dory, people don't need God. Because everything's hunky-dory. It's when people are going through challenges that they start saying, hold on, is this all there is to it? And it's up to us then, with people who've got confidence, you know, who've got like this King, to speak out. But if we then say, do you know what, I'm worried as well, I'm really concerned. Now, let me tell you, I am concerned for the people out there in those wards. And my heart goes out to them. But me personally, I've got the glorious King on my side.
Mm.
I know my home is secure in heaven. I know where I'm going. I can give hope to people. I can say to people that you're going through something. But let me tell you, there's a God who loves you, who you belong to. And he will bring you through this.
Yeah.
This is not the main act. Life on earth here is not the main act.
Yeah.
In some ways, it's the warm-up. It's the audition, if you like, for what is to come. Do we believe that? Do we really believe that? I'm talking to myself, but do I really believe that? When I believe that, I should never need to fear, because I know there is a God who will take me through. Second thing, so do we see God as all-powerful? And second thing here, do we see ourselves living in his kingdom as our top priority? Or is other stuff more important to us? As his child, I'm the custodian over what he's given me. It's up to me how I use that to extend his kingdom. Yes, I'm going to use it to provide for my family, but my time and my possessions, am I using it to extend his kingdom? Because I am his child, I am his servant. And when we do that, when we live like that, I believe we start to see Jesus as our glorious King.
Amen.
So this psalm, you know, I pray that I will know this in reality more and more each day. That I'll remember I am protected by him. I might go through some dreadful stuff, but in the end I know it's going to bring me through to his home, where I will live with him for eternity. But do we believe this ourselves? Is it going to drive us forward? Let's just pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, oh Lord God, in some ways you make this Christian life so simple, Lord, and yet so difficult.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, Father, we acknowledge this morning, Lord, that we are yours.
Yes.
Lord, we're here today because we are yours. Lord, we serve you because we are yours.
Yeah.
Oh, Father, just help us, Lord, in our daily lives to separate out that stuff that would come between you and us. Father, we thank you that you love us. Lord, help us to really appreciate that more and more each day, particularly at this time of the year, Lord, that we might bring good hope to our neighbours and our friends, people who don't know you. And, oh, Lord, we just lift you up, the glorious King. Amen.
Amen. Amen.